Chapter 40. Trusting in these resources, Solomon set about erecting a temple of immense size to God, funds for the purpose having been got together during 3 years, and laid the foundation of it about the fourth year of his reign. This was about the 588th year after the departure of the Hebrews from Egypt, although in the third book of Kings the years are reckoned at 441. This is by no means accurate, for it would have been more likely that, in the order of dates I have given above, I should perhaps reckon fewer years than more. But I do not doubt that the truth had been falsified by the carelessness of copyists, especially since so many ages intervened, rather than that the sacred, too, writer erred. In the same way, in the case of this little work of ours, we believe it will happen that, through the negligence of transcribers, those things which have been put together, not without care on our part, should be corrupted. Well, then, Solomon finished his work of building the temple in the 20th year from its commencement. Then, having offered sacrifice in that place, as well as uttered a prayer, by which he blessed the people in the temple, God spoke to him, declaring that, if at any time they should sin and forsake God, their temple should be razed to the ground. We see that this is a long time ago being fulfilled, and in due time we shall set forth the connected order of events. In the meantime, Solomon abounded in wealth, and was, in fact, the richest of all the kings that ever lived. But, as always takes place in such circumstances, he sunk from wealth into luxury and vice, forming marriages, in spite of the prohibition of God, with foreign women, until he had 700 wives, and 300 concubines. As a consequence, he set up idols for them, after the manner of their nations, to which they might offer sacrifice. God, turned away from him by such doings, reproved him sharply, and made known to him as a punishment, that the greater part of his kingdom would be taken from his son, and given to a servant. And that happened accordingly. Chapter 41. For, on the death of Solomon in the 40th year of his reign, Rehoboam his son having succeeded to the throne of his father in the 16th year of his age, a portion of the people, taking offense, revolted from him. For, having asked that the very heavy tribute which Solomon had imposed upon them might be lessened, he rejected the entreaties of these suppliants, and thus alienated from him the favor of the whole people. Accordingly, by universal consent, the government was bestowed on Jeroboam. He, sprung from a family of middle rank, had for some time been in the service of Solomon. But when the king found that the sovereignty of the Hebrews had been promised to him by a response of the prophet Ichab, he had resolved privately to cut him off. Jeroboam, under the influence of this fear, fled into Egypt, and there married a wife of the royal family. But, when at length he heard of the death of Solomon, he returned to his native land, and, by the wish of the people, as we have said above, he assumed the government. Two tribes, however, Judah and Benjamin, had remained under the sway of Rehoboam, and from these he got ready an army of 30,000 men. But when the two hosts advanced, the people were instructed by the words of God to abstain from fighting, for that Jeroboam had received the kingdom by divine appointment. Thus the army disdained the command of the king, and dispersed, while the power of Jeroboam was increased. But, since Rehoboam held Jerusalem, where the people had been accustomed to offer sacrifice to God in the temple built by Solomon, Jeroboam, fearing lest their religious feelings might alienate the people from him, resolved to fill their minds with superstition. Accordingly, he set up one golden calf at Bethel, and another at Dan, to which the people might offer sacrifice, and, passing by the tribe of Levi, he appointed priests from among the people. But censure followed this guilt so hateful to God. Frequent battles then took place between the kings, and so they retained their respective kingdoms on doubtful conditions. Rehoboam died at the close of the 17th year of his reign. Chapter 42. In his room, albeit his son held the kingdom at Jerusalem for 6 years, although he is said in the Chronicles, 1, to have reigned 3 years. Asa his son succeeded him, being the fifth from David, as he was his great-great-grandson. He was a pious worshipper of God, for, destroying the altars and the groves of the idols, he removed the traces of his father's faithlessness. He formed an alliance with the king of Syria, and by his help inflicted much loss on the kingdom of Jeroboam, which was then held by his son, and often, after conquering the enemy, carried off spoil as the result of victory. After 41 years he died, afflicted with disease in his feet. To him sin of a three-fold kind is ascribed: first, that he trusted too much to his alliance with the king of Syria; secondly, that he cast into prison a prophet of God who rebuked him for this; and thirdly, that, when suffering from disease in his feet, he sought a remedy, not from God, but from the physicians. In the beginning of his reign, Jeroboam, king of the 10 tribes, and left his throne to his son Naboth. He, from his wicked works, and, both by his own and his, too, father's doings, hateful to God, did not possess the kingdom more than 2 years, and his children, as being unworthy, were deprived, 3, of the government. He had for his successor Baasa, the son of Achub, and he proved himself equally estranged from God. He died in the 26th year of his reign, and his power passed to Elah his son, but was not retained more than 2 years. For Zimri, leader of his cavalry, killed him at a banquet, and seized the kingdom come a man equally odious to God and men. A portion of the people revolted from him, and the royal power was conferred on one Thammuz. But Zimri reigned before him 7 years, and at the same time with him 12 years. And, on the death of Asab, Josaphat his son began to reign over part of the tribe of Judah, a man deservedly famous for his pious virtues. He lived at peace with Zimri, and he died, after a reign of 25 years. Chapter 43. In the time of his reign, Ahab, the son of Zimri, was king of the 10 tribes, impious above all against God. For having taken in marriage Jezebel, the daughter of Baasa, king of Sidon, he erected an altar and groves to the idol of Baal, and slew the prophets of God. At this time, Elijah the prophet by prayer shut up heaven, that it should not give any rain to the earth, and revealed it to the king, in order that he, in his impiety, might know himself to be the cause of the evil. The waters of heaven, therefore, being restrained, and since the whole country, burned up by the heat of the sun, did not furnish food either for man or beast, the prophet had even exposed himself to the sight of perishing from hunger. At that time, when he betook himself to the desert, he depended for life on the ravens furnishing him with food, while a neighboring rivulet furnished him with water, until it was dried up. Then, being instructed by God, he went to the town of Sarepta, and turned aside to lodge with a widow woman. And when, in his hunger, he begged food from her, she complained that she had only a handful of meal and a little oil, on the consumption of which she expected death along with her children. 1. But when Elijah promised in the words of God that neither should the meal lessen in the barrel nor the oil in the vessel, the woman did not hesitate to believe the prophet demanding faith, and obtained, 2, the fulfillment of what was promised, since by daily increase as much was added as was day by day taken away. At the same time, Elijah restored to life the dead son of the same widow. Then, by the command of God, he went to the king, and having reproved his impiety, he ordered all the people to be gathered together to himself. When these had hastily assembled, the priests of the idols and of the groves to the number of about 450, were also summoned. Then there arose a dispute between them, Elijah setting forth the honor of God, while they upheld their own superstitions. At length they agreed that a trial should be made to this effect, that if fire sent down from heaven should consume the slain victim of either of them, that religion should be accepted as the true one which performed the miracle. Accordingly, the priests, having slain a calf, began to call upon the idol of Baal, and, after wasting their invocations to no purpose, they tacitly acknowledged the helplessness of their god. Then Elijah mocked them and said, "Cry aloud more vehemently, lest perchance he sleeps, and that thus you may rouse him from the slumber in which he is sunk." The wretched man could do nothing but shudder and mutter to themselves, but still they waited to see what Elijah would do. Well, he slew a calf and laid it upon the altar, having first of all filled the sacred place with water, and then, calling upon the name of the Lord, fire fell from heaven in the sight of all, and consumed alike the water and the victim. Then truly the people, casting themselves upon the earth, confessed God and execrated the idols, while finally, by the command of Elijah, the impious priests were seized, and, being brought down to the brook, were there slain. The prophet followed the king as he returned from that place, but as Jezebel, the wife of the king, was devising means for taking his life, he retired to a more remote spot. There God addressed him, telling him that there were still 7,000 men who had not given themselves up to idols. That was to Elijah a marvelous statement, for he had supposed that he himself was the only one who had kept free from impiety. Chapter 44. At that time, Ahab, king of Samaria, coveted the vineyard of Naboth, which was adjacent to his own. And as Naboth was unwilling to sell it to him, he was cut off by the wiles of Jezebel. Thus Ahab got possession of the vineyard, though he is said at the same time to have regretted the death of Naboth. Acknowledging his crime, he is related to have done, 1, penance clothed in sackcloth, and in this way he turned aside threatening punishment. For the king of Syria with a great army, having formed a military confederacy with 32 kings, entered the territories of Samaria, and began to besiege the city with its king. The affairs of the besieged being then in a state of great distress, the Syrian king offers these conditions in the war comment: if they should give up their gold and silver and women, he would spare their lives. But, with such iniquitous conditions offered, it seemed better to suffer the greatest extremities. And now when the safety of all was despaired of, a prophet sent by God went to the king, encouraged him to go forth to battle, and when he hesitated, strengthened his confidence in many ways. Accordingly making a sally, the enemy were routed, and an abundant store of booty was secured. But, after a year, the Syrian king returned with recruited strength into Samaria, burning to avenge the defeat he had received, but was again overthrown. In that battle 120,000 of the Syrians perished, the king was pardoned, and his kingdom and former position were granted him. Then Ahab was reproved by the prophet in the words of God, for having abused the divine kindness, and spared the enemy delivered up to him. The Syrian king, therefore, after 3 years, made war upon the Hebrews. Against him Ahab, under the advice of some false prophet, went forth to battle, having spurned the words of Micaiah the prophet and cast him into prison, because the prophet had warned him that the fight would prove disastrous to him. Thus, then, Ahab, being slain in that battle, left the kingdom to his son Achaziah. Chapter 45. He being sick in body, and having sent some of his servants to consult an idol about his recovery, Elijah, as instructed by God, met them in the way, and, after rebuking them, ordered them to inform the king that his death would follow from that disease. Then the king ordered him to be seized and brought into his presence, but those who were sent for this purpose were consumed by fire from heaven. The king died, as the prophet had predicted. To him there succeeded his brother Joram, and he held the government for the space of 12 years. But on the side of the 2 tribes, Joseph fought the king having died. Joram his son possessed the kingdom for 18 years. He had the daughter of Ahab to wife, and proved himself more like his father-in-law than his father. After him, Achaziah his son obtained the kingdom. During his reign, Elijah is related to have been taken up to heaven. At the same time, Elisha his disciple showed himself powerful by working many miracles, which am all too well known to need any description from my pen. By him the son of a widow was restored to life, a leper of Syria was cleansed, at a time of famine abundance of all things was brought into the city by the enemy having been put to flight, water was furnished for the use of 3 armies, and from a little ill the debt of a woman was paid by the oil being immensely multiplied, and sufficient means for a livelihood was provided for herself. In his times, as we have said, Akosha was king of the 2 tribes, while Joram, as we have related above, ruled over the 10, and an alliance was formed between them. For war was carried on by them with combined forces both against the Syrians, and against Jer, who had been anointed by the prophet as king of the 10 tribes, and having gone forth to battle in company, they both perished in the same fight. Chapter 46. But Jer possessed the kingdom of Joram. After the death of Akosha in Judea, when he had reigned 1 year, his mother, Gotholiah, seized the supreme power, having deprived her grandson, whose name was Joas, of the government, he being at the time but a little child. But the power thus snatched from him by his grandmother was, after 8 years, restored to him through means of the priests and people, while his grandmother was driven into exile. He, at the beginning of his reign, was most devoted to the divine worship, and embellished the temple at great expense. Afterwards, however, being corrupted by the flattery of the chief men, and unduly honored by them, he incurred wrath. For Azel, king of Syria, made war upon him, and, as things went badly with him, he purchased peace with the gold of the temple. He did not, however, obtain it, but through resentment for what he had done he was slain by his own people in the 40th year of his reign. He was succeeded by his son Amasa. But, on the side of the 10 tribes, Jer having died, Joash his son began to reign, displeasing to God on account of his wicked works, in punishment of which his kingdom was ravaged by the Syrians, until, through the mercy of God, the enemy was driven back, and the inhabitants of the land began to occupy their former position. Joash, having ended his days, left the kingdom to his son Joah. He raised civil war against Amasa, king of the 2 tribes, and, having obtained the victory, conveyed much spoil into his own kingdom. That is related to have occurred to Amasa as a punishment of his sin, for, having entered as a conqueror the territories of the Idumeans, he had adopted the idols of that nation. He is described as having reigned 9 years, so far as I find it stated in the books of Kings. But in the Chronicles, 1, of Scripture, as well as in the Chronicles, 2, of Eusebius, he is affirmed to have held the government 29 years, and the mode of reckoning which may easily be perceived in these books of Kings undoubtedly leads to that conclusion. For Jeroboam is said to have begun to reign as king of the 10 tribes in the 8th year of the reign of Amasa, and to have held the government 41 years, and to have at length died in the 4th year of the reign of Ozia, son of Amasa. By this mode of reckoning, the reign of Amasa is made to extend over 28 years. Accordingly, we, following out this, inasmuch as it is our purpose to adhere in this work to the dates in their proper order, we have accepted the authority of the Chronicles, 3. Chapter 47. Ozias, then, the son of Amasa, succeeded to him. For, on the side of the 10 tribes, Joas, reaching the end of his days, had given place to his son Jeroboam, and after him, again, his sons Zacharias began to reign. Of these kings, and of all who ruled over Samaria on the side of the 10 tribes, we have not thought it necessary to note the dates, because, aiming at brevity, we have omitted everything superfluous, as we have thought that the years should be carefully traced for a knowledge especially of the times of that portion, 1, of the Jews, which being carried into captivity at a later period than the other, passed through a longer time as a kingdom. Ozias, then, having obtained the kingdom of Judah, gave his principal care to knowing the Lord, making great use of Zechariah the prophet. Isaiah, too, is said to have first prophesied unto this king, and, on this account, he carried on war against his neighbors with deservedly prosperous results, while he also conquered the Arabians. And already he had shaken Egypt with the terror of his name, but, being elated by prosperity, he ventured on what was forbidden, and offered incense to God, a thing which it was the established custom for the priests alone to do. Being, then, rebuked by Azaria the priest, and compelled to leave the sacred place, he burst out into a rage, but was, when he finally withdrew, covered with leprosy. Under the influence of this disease he ended his days, after having reigned 52 years. Then the kingdom was given to Jotham as his son, and he is related to have been very pious, and carried on the government with success. He subdued and war the nation of the Ammonites, and compelled them to pay tribute. He reigned 16 years, and his son Achaz succeeded him. Chapter 48. The remarkable faith of the Ninevites is related to have been manifested about these times. That town, rounded of old by Ashur, the son of Seir, was the capital of the kingdom of the Assyrians. It was then full of a multitude of inhabitants, sustaining 120,000 men, and abounding in wickedness, as is usually the case among a vast concourse of people. God, moved by their sinfulness, commanded the prophet Jonah to go from Judea, and denounce destruction upon the city, as Sodom and Gomorrah had of old been consumed by fire from heaven. But the prophet declined that office of preaching, not out of contumacy, but from foresight, which enabled him to behold God reconciled to the repentance of the people, and he embarked on board a ship which was bound for Tarsus, in a very different direction. But, after they had gone forth into the deep, the sailors, constrained by the violence of the sea, inquired by means of the lot who was the cause of that suffering. And when the lot fell upon Jonah, he was cast into the sea, to be, as it were, a sacrifice for stilling the tempest, and he was seized and swallowed by a waylay monster of the deep. Cast out 3 days afterwards on the shores of the Ninevites, he preached as he had been commanded, namely that the city would be destroyed in 3 days, as a punishment for the sins of the people. The voice of the prophet was listened to, not in a hypocritical fashion, as at Sodom of old, and immediately by the order, and after the example, of the king, the whole people, and even those infants newly born, are commanded to abstain from meat and drink, the very beasts of burden in the place, and animals of different kinds, being forced by hunger and thirst, presented an appearance of those who lamented along with the human inhabitants. In this way, the threatened evil was averted. To Jonah, complaining to God that his words had not been fulfilled, it was answered that pardon could never be denied to the penitent. Chapter 49. But in Samaria, Zechariah the king, who was very wicked, and whom we have spoken of above as occupying the throne, was shinned by a certain Salem, who seized the kingdom. He, in turn, perished by the treachery of Mane, who simply repeated the conduct of his predecessor. Mane held the government which he had taken from Salem, and left it to his son Pak. But a certain person of the same name slew Pak, and seized the kingdom. Ere long being cut off by us, he lost the sovereignty by the same crime by which he had received it. This man, being ungodly beyond all the kings who had preceded him, brought punishment upon himself from God, and a perpetual captivity on his nation. For Salmanizar, king of the Assyrians, made war with him, and when conquered rendered him tributary. But when, with secret plans, he was preparing for rebellion, and had asked the king of the Ethiopians, who then had possession of Egypt for his assistance, Salmanazar, on discovering that, cast him into prison with fetters never taken off, while he destroyed the city, and carried off the whole people into his own kingdom, Assyrians being placed in the enemy's country to guard it. Hence that district was called Samaria, because in the language of the Assyrians guards are called Samaritan. 1. Very many of their settlers accepted the divine rites of the Jewish religion, while others remained in the errors of heathenism. In this war, Tobias was carried into captivity. But on the side of the two tribes, Achaz, who was displeasing to God on account of his impiety, finding he had frequently the worst of it in wars with his neighbors, resolved to worship the gods of the heathen, undoubtedly because by their help his enemies had proved victorious in frequent battles. He ended his days with this crime, too, in his wicked mind, after a reign of 16 years.